So we're in this series called Order Up. It's on a keys to an effective prayer life. And today what I'm just going to deal with just real quick is I'm going to talk to you about how to pray for people you don't like. And why you should pray for people you don't like, because something's going to happen powerful to you. Something powerful is going to happen to you. And I'm just going to tell you right now that Satan does more to divide Christians over stuff. And he does it because it pulls revelation and blessing away. And I hope I can unpack this in a way the Holy Spirit will just go to your spirit and go, that's what he's been up to. And that's why he's put this wedge. And God's going to show you how to pray for people that you just do not like and why you should be praying for them. And so my message is called No Dutch Treat. So how many know around here we know Dutch treat? I got my check, you got your check. I'm not taking your bill. Listen, you took a nacho from my plate, you're going to pay for that nacho. That's how we are here. When it comes to praying for people, I don't pray for them because this is what they did and this is the way they believe and this is their political view and this is what they are and they're bound by that kind of sin. I have nothing to do with them. God's going to rock your world today with how to pray for people you don't like. He is going to upset our spiritual walk today with this, folks. I'm telling you. So here's the deal in this verse of scripture. God wanted to be king, folks, over Israel in the Old Testament. He wanted to be their king, direct them, protect them, guide them, provide them, all this stuff. Well, they are living in rebellion against God, and God's even given them favor in the rebellion. And they say, we don't want you to be king, God. We want to have a king like all the other countries. We want to have a throne where we get to see a dude up there. This is what we want. And so Samuel is the one that God is using to speak to Israel. And look what happens in 1 Samuel 12, verse 18, and we take the story there. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people were terrified of the Lord and of Samuel. Pray to the Lord your God for us, so or we will die, they all said to Samuel. For now we have added to our sins by asking for a king. Don't be afraid, Samuel reassured them. You have certainly done wrong. But make sure now that you worship the Lord with all your heart and don't turn your back on him. Don't go back to worshiping worthless idols that cannot help or rescue. They are totally worthless, useless. The Lord will not abandon his people because that would dishonor his great name. For it has pleased the Lord to make you his very own people. He's still loving them and they're still rejecting him. But look what he says. Samuel said, as for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you. You're being jerks, he said. You're resisting God, but I won't sin against God by stopping to pray for you because of your bad behavior. Look at this. And I will continue to teach you what is good and right. Sometimes, friends, people do you wrong and they eat from your plate and they abuse you and mistreat you and you don't want to bless them. But I'm telling you, it's not Dutch treat in the kingdom of God. There's no Dutch treat. So look at your neighbor before you sit down, high five him, tell him, say, I'm picking up the tab today. Amen. Come on, just high five him. Amen. And then that means you're going to take him to lunch. Amen. That's what that means. Amen. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yeah, sorry. We'll take it back. So dudes, listen, my brother dudes, you my single brother dudes. So look, if you're going to go on a date, please don't do Dutch treat. Be a man. Buy the meal, right? Kind of like the young couple went out on two dates. Young man kept taking on a date. Every date, hey, we're going to go Dutch treat. We're going to go Dutch treat. Didn't go Dutch treat. Finally, the second date, they went Dutch treat. Everything was Dutch treat. He walks up to the front door to give her a goodnight kiss, and she looks over at him. She says, since the whole night has been Dutch treat for everything, she says, why don't you just go ahead and kiss yourself goodnight? There's no Dutch treat in the kingdom of God where they ate off my plate. They took something from me, Pastor. There's no such thing as Dutch treat. God has called us. Listen, prayers for yourself and prayers for others who have mistreated you or done you wrong, they are not optional prayers in the kingdom of God. I know that this, in a culture right now where people are getting divided, it seems like they're dividing, they're lining up on either side now. In the kingdom of God, there is no place, there is no option that you can't, you have to pray for people that you don't like. Now, the guy who teaches us is Samuel. There are people that you don't, first of all, feel like praying for. There are people I don't feel like praying for. And there's some people that I feel like praying for that don't want me praying for them. And some of you have people that just, you're maybe even family members or past relationships, I don't want you praying for me. Just stop praying for me. It's not going to work. Well, I'm telling you, Samuel teaches you how to deal with people who have abused you, misused you, and why you need to be praying for them even when your feeler doesn't feel it. But God says pray for them because something powerful is going to come out of this. So let's look at Samuel's life and this experience for Samuel. And I'm going to break this down a little bit so you can see the power of doing this and why Satan's behind this thing of dividing us in churches, dividing us in nations. There's something he's working and you stop praying for one another. I'm telling you, he's up to something and we are going to expose the devil for who he is today. So here's Samuel's life. Just look at Samuel's name. Samuel's name means, his name means God heard me. It literally means my prayer has been answered. If you're a student of the Bible, you know that Hannah, her womb was closed and she wanted to have a child. And Elkanah, her husband, they wouldn't have children and they couldn't have children. So she went into desperate prayer and she asked God, I need a son. And God opened up her womb and gave her a son. And Elkanah's seed came alive in her. And the thing she couldn't have, she had because she became desperate for God to do a miracle. And that's why my mom named me Samuel, was that very thing. She cried out to God that God would give her one more son and that she would give him back to the Lord if he would give her one more son. And there were things surrounding that. But I understand the impact of it, but it comes out of desperation. So here's you got to look at Hannah. Hannah was desperate. See, when your womb is closed up and you need God to open up a promise for you that your marriage is dead, no healing's coming, your kid's bound in sin, you see such hate and anger in cultures and in communities. Listen, if you want it to change, you got to get desperate like Hannah. Amen. Hannah got so desperate, everybody, you read the story that Eli, the priest, the preacher, saw her praying and he thought she was drunk. She was praying with such desperation. He went over and rebuked her, said, you shouldn't be drinking alcohol. You shouldn't be drunk and come in the presence of God. And she said, I'm not drunk. I'm crying out to God. I'm crying out to God. He thought she was drunk. So that means she was a mess. You know how drunks look? They look like a mess. So if you really want God to open up a dead womb of something spiritual, you can't be cute with your prayer. You got to get messy to see God begin to move like this. She got messy. She didn't care what the preacher thought. She didn't care what people thought. She's bawling and squalling. So if you want heaven to open up, you just can't have this little simple now I lay me down to sleep prayer. I'm telling you, it's bawling, it's squalling, it's crying out, it's snot slinging everywhere, it's Kleenex packed a mile high. If you're really desperate, you will do something different, you will pray different to see your womb open up for a promise to happen. You can't get cued on this one, you know, when the heavens are like brass over you and they're closed and the ground feels like iron and nothing's coming up, when it seems like every door is shut and your kid isn't moving, your marriage isn't going anywhere, you gotta pray the kind of prayer that opens up the windows of heaven. I'm telling you, you got to get to a place where it gets messy and you're praying and Kleenex is piled up and your face is in the floor that you started acquiring a taste for carpet, man. You said, I'm not getting up until God moves. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but how many want to see God do some things in our nation, in our church, in our country? You got to pray that kind of desperate prayer. And when Hannah prayed that kind of prayer, her womb opened up. If you want to see a promise come alive, you got to get desperate. If you always do what you always done, you're going to always get what you always got. But when you want to see something happen, you got to get desperate like Hannah. Amen. And quit being cute about your prayers and go violently after what God has for you until God opens up that womb of promise. And she said, she opened and she called him, God heard me, God answered my prayer. And he was not only the answer to her prayer, but he was the answer to prayer to God, and it was the answer to the prayer of the nation of Israel, because Israel was backslidden, and now God gives them Samuel as the last judge of Israel. Now the judges in that day of the Old Testament were literally the deliverers, that Samuel would give them such insight and listen to God, because he would show them and he would judge them, and he actually, God used him as the one that would bring deliverance and give them direction. He was the last judge of Israel. He was also a prophet that God gave him as a prophet. And he would actually be the mouthpiece of God. He would hear from God. He became the one that would communicate from God to them so that even in their sin, they would hear from God and they would come back. And Samuel was that voice to him. He was the priest. He was the one always interceding, always praying, faithfully prayed for him all the time. He was the guy that heard from God when he was a boy, when nobody else, even Eli, couldn't hear from God. He was hearing from the Lord, and now he's a mouthpiece telling people, okay, this is what God wants, this is what you're supposed to do.